Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and oh-so-short-lived American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. An important difference between me and some parents I know. I don't think the world sees my kid as the most beautiful, most talented youngster ever birthed. I love her, my wife loves her, and our family loves her, but come on, let's get real. That said, I know that a lot of parents believe their son or daughter is God's gift to humanity, or at least to show business. And they're going to pursue Hollywood opportunities with their last dying breath. So as God's gift to information and data sharing, my guest today is Frederick Levy, author of Acting in Young Hollywood and owner of Management 101, the talent firm that guides the careers of young people. Levy is here to help you parents keep you parents on the straight and narrow, the smart path to helping Junior and Muffy from unknown to replacing Miley Cyrus on Hannah Montana, or, you know, somewhere in between. Now, this is not Levy's first book. He also wrote Hollywood 101, The Film Industry, and 15 Minutes of Fame, Becoming a Star in the YouTube Revolution. Frederick, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So let's start from the perspective of the introduction I gave you, and we'll go from there. How about a warning to overzealous parents? Every kid is not an acting genius, right?
No, every kid is not an acting genius. And what I look for when I find talent that I'm interested in representing, especially young talent, as good as the kids are, I have to meet the parents. Because if I find that the parents are pushing this more than the kids, or the parents are trying to live their own lives vicariously through the careers of their children, they're typically not families that I'm interested in working with.
Interesting. So you're not so mercenary that you'll take anyone or anything that's thrown at you. You want a complete package, I guess.
No, certainly. I mean, we want great talent. We want kids who have that it factor, who've got a great look, who've got an amazing personality, who are confident when they walk into a room, and of course who have some talent that we can develop and nurture and get them to a level where they're competitive. But if I find that their parents are the ones that are pushing this and it's not coming from the children, or if I find that the parents are really, just consuming their lives with, what auditions aren't my kids going on and all sorts of other stuff, it just makes me nervous. Are they here for the right reasons? Parents have a very important role in the career of a child, by the way, but their role is to be a great parent. It's to support their child. It's to encourage them. It's to root them on. I mean, this is not an easy business. There's lots of rejection. It's their job to comfort the child when they keep hearing no. It's their job to, certainly it's their job to chauffeur them from audition to audition because a lot of these kids don't drive yet. But it's not their job to, manage their own child, to push their child when their child doesn't want to do this. The best parent to me says to their child, or says when their child comes to them and says, listen, I don't want to do this anymore. The best parent says, you don't have to. If you don't want to do this anymore, it's done.
What about the parents who see the kid as their gravy train? They can give up their day job and live off of, as I put it, Junior or Muffy's earnings.
It's scary. And if a parent wants to destroy their relationship with their child, that's the fastest way to do it.
Have you found yourself in that situation where you're representing someone that it turned out that was going on?
We've been in a situation where we have worked with a child or a former child actor who had been in that situation previously, prior to working with us, and it's terrible because we find that these actors no longer have relationships with their parents. But if I sense any of that from the beginning, we just walk away.
Well, let's give folks a little extra background about yourself. tell us a little bit about Management 101, your company. Management 101. And then also, if you can, maybe some of the clients that you represent currently.
Sure. Well, you know, Management 101 is a firm that guides the careers of actors, music acts, and writers. We're based in L.A., but we also have a presence in New York. We're a small but very active management company. We've got about 30 clients on both coasts. We specialize in the youth market, so that's young talent, predominantly kids, teens, and adults who also play kids and teens, although we do have a few older clients as well. You know, you can see our clients, you know, on shows ranging from, you know, CSI to Hannah Montana to movies like Fame, in Broadway shows, commercials, animated fare on TV. I mean, pretty much the gamut of any opportunities that actors could get, you could find some of our clients. You know, my background is actually in production. I started many years ago running a production company called Marty Katz Productions. We produced a lot of big movies like Titanic, Reindeer Games, The Four Feathers, The Great Raid. I then went on to produce films on my own. I was a producer on Frailty with Matthew McConaughey. I produced a film called Unknown with Jim Caviezel and Greg Kinnear. Most recently, I created and produced a show for Nickelodeon called Dance on Sunset, which was a kids' dance show. And of course, you mentioned some of my books. I actually have 6 books, all about the entertainment industry. And, of course, acting in young Hollywood is the newest one.
Well, if I named all your books, we wouldn't have any time left to talk. I'm just kidding. Well, let's say that I feel that I've got this kid that really genuinely I'm a good parent and I genuinely feel my kid's got talent. Can you give me 3 pros for pursuing Hollywood type opportunities and 3 cons, 3 things that should, you know, put enough fear into me that I should really seriously reconsider?
Sure. I mean, the pros are certainly, it's always great to encourage your child to pursue their dreams. And if this is something, again, if it's coming from the child, something the child really wants to do, I wholeheartedly think that parents should support it. Certainly, if you become successful doing this, your child could earn enough money to pay for college and then some. That's certainly another pro. I would say a third pro is that, you really are creating an opportunity for your child to get started in their career at a very early age and presumably get a head start above others who enter this business as adults. As far as cons go, we already talked about one. I mean, you know, depending how you handle the business with your child, if you decide to take an active role in your child's business, I feel that could be detrimental to your relationship with your child. And I've seen examples of this throughout the years, both with clients that I have worked with after the fact and just by reading the paper. Another con is that I always tell people, be careful what you ask for, because with success you may find your entire life getting uprooted and becoming something that you never expected. I see families all the time leave their jobs, split up their family, where half of them are living on the East Coast, for instance, and half of them have come to L.A. to pursue this. And, it really forces a family to rethink the way that it lives from day to day. It can cause all sorts of interesting things that need to happen in order to make this happen for the child. And let's see, a third con would be, I see a lot of times where parents move out to L.A. With their child and the business consumes them. And what they don't do is they never make a life for themselves outside of the business. And I always say to parents when they move here that you need to have a life too. And the child needs to have a life too outside of the business as well. You know, if the child is only focused on auditions and what auditions are my friends going on and what should I be going on, and that's all they think about 24/7, and they're not making friends outside of the business who could care less about auditions, and they're not on the football team or taking gymnastics or doing something that normal kids do. I think that's a big con as well.
Hmm. You know, the 3 years that I've been doing this radio show now, I've actually it's been interesting to me. I was thinking about it before we went on. I'm approached more and more by publicists representing young actors. You know, the young in this case could be early 20s to, you know, 10, 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. There seems like there's two types. There's the kids that are absolutely deer in the headlights when they're put in the position of having to talk to someone like me. And I'm just, you know, I treat them, you know, with respect and ask them questions, and they just aren't there, but someone is pushing for them to get some press. And then there's the kids who are, I don't want to say that they're polished, but they're very comfortable with what they're doing and who they are, and you can see that there's probably a very good adjustment going on there.
Well, it's interesting because with our kids and all of our actors, even the adults, you know, if they haven't done the interview circuit before, if they're not used to that, we always give them some sort of media training. We do mock interviews. We get them comfortable answering questions. We talk about the kinds of questions that will probably be asked so that they are ready to actually do an interview with somebody like you. You know, I see it as well where they hire these publicists, they push them out onto the red carpet, and they don't know how to answer questions, or they, you know, answer questions the wrong way, which can always be detrimental. You know, it's a lot of thought needs to go into it before you just put somebody on the phone or on camera to do an interview.
Yeah, I just, you know, I look at that and I think, okay, so this person, you know, they've got some good stuff going on in their life, but if they're, you know, if they can't put across to me, a total stranger who's, you know, this is generally a pretty friendly situation, I worry that there's other things going on that, you know, that they're also, either they're not enjoying it or they don't want to be doing it, and, you know, there's someone kind of pushing their buttons and they don't really have much choice.
Well, at the same time, listen, what does a 10-year-old have to talk about? You know, they're 10. They're 10. So what if they're in a movie? Well, they're still 10 years old.
Right.
You know, sometimes right. I get parents who are why isn't my young child getting a general meeting with the head of the studio? Well, what the heck is your 10-year-old going to talk to the head of the studio about? I mean, let's be realistic. Right. Is that really the best use of their time and your time? I don't think so.
Well, I'm with you on this. I mean, it's like, why push someone that young out to talk to me? I basically have a cutoff, and I have a 13-year-old, and I kind of use her as my guide.
Mm-hmm.
Basically anyone under 12, I'm just going to pass on general grounds. But, you know, and even, you know, there's some teenagers that just, they just don't want to be doing this. Whether it's the interview or the rest of it, they want to go out and hang with their friends. And, I feel bad for them. They really seem like they're being deprived of a very important part of their youth.
Absolutely, and like I said, we always watch for that. We always want to make sure that this is because they're here because the kids want to be here.
Right. Well, now along that line, I mean, okay, I've got the kid who's got some talent and some charisma, which I know is a big part of this.
Yep.
And we come out to Hollywood. How hard will I and how hard will my kid have to work to make something of themselves in this
extremely
environment?
Extremely hard. This is a very competitive business. You cannot think that you'll move to L.A., sign with an agent, and all of a sudden you're going to be a star. These people, these kids and these adults who you think blow up overnight, it's not true. If you really do the research and find out how they got started, they've been working at it for years. You know, you need to be in class. You know, acting is a muscle. You need to keep that muscle toned at all times. If you're not in class, your acting muscle is going to be weak. And when that big audition comes along, you're not going to be ready and prepared for it. So, you know, class is a really big thing. I think a lot of people don't take that seriously. But whenever I meet potential talent who's looking for representation, the first question I ask them is, who are you studying with? If they're not studying, if they're not in a class, they're not taking this seriously.
And who do the kids want to emulate these days? Who, you know, who's, you know, do they see that have careers or visibility that they all want to go, oh, I want to be like so-and-so?
You know, I think it really varies. I mean, you know, certainly a lot of the younger kids look up to the Disney and Nickelodeon teen stars. But I have, you know, she's 16 now, but she started, I think, when she was 11 with me. And she's always kind of looked beyond that and, you know, looks at careers like Sandra Bullock or Julia Roberts or Jodie Foster. And, you know, I love when I hear stuff like that, you know, when they're looking, you know, beyond, you know, these, you know, teen magazine pinup kids and actually looking, you know, for careers, you know, beyond that. Not to say that, you know, Miley Cyrus and Zac Efron and these kids aren't going to have careers beyond that because they're already proving that they can. But it's very interesting, you know, to hear that, to ask a young actor that question and see what they say.
I was very impressed. Just yesterday, I had as a guest a guy named Kevin G. Schmidt. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's on. He's 21. He's currently on The Young and the Restless. And previously, he got started. I think one of his first roles was as a boy in the Cheaper by the Dozen movies with Steve Martin and Bonnie Hunt.
Sure.
And in those movies, I was very impressed with him. I had a lot of respect for him. He was in those movies because he was kind of chubby, and he was kind of a bully. And he got his career the first couple of years in his early teens. He was repeatedly playing that kid over and over again, and he took a look at himself, and you know, maybe someone talked to him, and he decided, you know, I like acting, I want to make something in this, but I don't want to be the chubby bully for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, as much as a kid can do, if you will, body sculpting, I mean, he lost the weight, he changed people's perception of him, and he got this role on Young and Restless, and he was in the Princess Protection Program with Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez. Oh, my God, I'm actually remembering these names. you know, I'm not really the audience. So, you know, that was interesting. I thought, and it was interesting to talk to him a day before talking to you because, you know, I was kind of curious. He's 21 now, and he's producing his own online TV series and other things, and I thought, okay, that's the kind of thing, I'm impressed by that.
Absolutely. I mean, it sounds like he's gone above and beyond. He didn't sit around waiting for it to happen. He took it into his own hands and was very proactive with his career, and now it's paying off for him. I think that's wonderful. You know, look at Jerry O'Connell, did the same thing. You know, if you remember, he was the chubby kid in Stand By Me, and he has worked consistently since he was a kid. To this day, you know, he continues to work and he did the same thing. He lost a lot of weight. He, you know, reshaped his image. He continued to book jobs and it's been a wonderful career for him.
Yeah. Marrying Rebecca Romijn, that seemed
that's the icing on the cake.
That's some damn sweet icing. sorry. So how many potential clients does your agency see in one form or another and consider in a given week?
Well, we see hundreds, you know, because we spend a lot of our time, especially on the weekends, we spend a lot of time scouting. I'll go travel around the country looking at, you know, actors in different parts of the country, whether I see high school plays or go visit an acting school or a talent convention. So I'm always on the lookout for that next great piece of talent. You know, that said, like I previously told you, we are a very small company. So we've only got about 30 clients. So of the hundreds or thousands that I see every year, I mean, maybe we sign 3 or 4.
Hmm.
You know, it just really depends. You know, if I fall in love with somebody, listen, I could fall in love with 10 people tomorrow. I'll sign them all. But the reality is, how many are actually going to be ready? How many are actually competitive? How many am I really going to fall in love with? How many are going to be able to move to L.A. or New York and launch their career? You know, so there's a lot of other factors that come into play.
Hmm. And tell me about the service that you actually provide once someone becomes a client. What do you do for them?
Well, we guide their career. And by that, I think the best way to explain it is to tell you a little bit about the difference between an agent and a manager. because agents are kind of like employment agents, where their primary job to get you a job. Okay, they get you the first job. As soon as you film that, then they're, you know, looking actively to get you that next job, and so on and so forth. They also play a very big role in negotiating contracts once you land a deal. A manager is kind of looking at the big picture. So when you're launching new talent, a lot of what we do overlaps. Of course, we're also looking for any sort of opportunity just to put you on the map, just to get a credit for your resume. But as you start to book jobs and as you start, your career starts to evolve, our job also starts to evolve, and we're looking at the big picture. We're not just thinking about how do we book the next job. We're looking at a series of jobs and how to turn these jobs into a successful career, and how do we keep you in the game, and how do we expand the business, and how do we brand you, and how do we, you know, take you from being a successful actor to launch a music career, or vice versa, or, you know, so on and so forth. You know, so you know, I think it's more managers. I tell people to look at managers as more big picture people, and agents are kind of more about the day to day. Let me just get you that job.
Okay. And we should turn our attention back to your book, of course, Acting in Young Hollywood, your current book. This is really set up as a handbook. I mean, you know, it's digest size. You can almost, if you have a big pocket, you can put it in your pocket and take it with you as you're out and about. What did you have in mind to accomplish with the book?
Well, you know, because I travel around so much and I'm always speaking to people about breaking into the business and getting started as a young actor, you know, I get the same questions again and again and again. And I thought, you know what, there's so much interest, and I meet so many people, and they always have the same questions. Maybe I should just put it all into a book. And so that's what I did. I wanted to come up with a guide that would help people who were interested in breaking into this business but really didn't know how to go about doing it. So it doesn't matter if you live in the Midwest or the East Coast or, you know, anywhere outside of L.A. or New York, this book will tell you how to get started right there at home. But then it will also tell you what to do once you get to Los Angeles or New York, or if you happen to be starting from L.A. or New York as well. So, you know, I find that it's an extremely helpful handbook filled with lots of advice, and not just my advice. I also interviewed tons of industry professionals, casting directors, agents, other managers, producers, studio teachers, et cetera, to get their advice as well, because I find that their advice is also extremely helpful. And for anybody who's read my previous books, you know that the way that I write is I tell a lot of fun anecdotes about real people working in the biz on TV shows and films that you've heard of, so you can see practical examples of the things that I'm illustrating in the book, and I find that it's a quick, enjoyable, and educational read.
Tell me, you brought this up, tell me a story. Entertain me with a Hollywood story. I'm Joe in the sticks, and I want to hear a good Hollywood story about young actors. What do you got?
Oh, I mean, I've got so many of them. It's you know, where to start. You know, I love to tell the one story about a client of mine. He, you know, I found him. He's from Michigan. I found him at a talent convention in Orlando when he was 14, and I had just heard the same or seen the same group of about 50 boys botch the same commercial copy again and again, and all of a sudden this kid walks in. He's 14. He's about 5'5", a little over 200 pounds. He's got braces and bleach blonde hair, and he certainly didn't look like a star. But the moment he opened his mouth, the entire energy of the room changed, and all of a sudden the charisma that came out of his mouth and was just absolutely overwhelming and amazing, and I thought, my God. After he got like the first two words out, I said, this kid is going to be a star. And I knew at that moment that I wanted to work with him. And I signed him as a client. And he worked, you know, because he was in Michigan, he had a single mom. We worked together on tape, meaning that if an audition came in, I would have him put it on tape, send me the tape, and then I would get that tape to casting. And then if casting wanted it to go to the next level, potentially he could come in to L.A. to meet with the producers for the callback. But there was this Martin Lawrence movie called Rebound that was casting. It was one of the first things that he had put on tape, and he became the choice of the casting director, the choice of the director, and ultimately the studio decided that they were going to make that role a girl instead of a guy, so he didn't get the role. But he had gotten so far, and this is just on a tape, that it gave his mom enough confidence to say, maybe my kid really does have something special, let's bring him out to L.A. So they took an exploratory trip. They were just going to be in L.A. for a little while, but because as soon as he got here, he started to book, they decided maybe this is really where we need to be. And I've been working with him since he was 14. He's 20 years old now, and he's worked consistently. In fact, he was on TV twice last week. He was on an episode of Accidentally on Purpose with Jenna Elfman. He was on an episode of Brothers on Fox, and his name is Andrew Caldwell, and he has done extremely well.
Well, you mentioned, so here's someone who's kind of grown up with you. You write about adults who can play young. You talk about like the guy who plays Miley Cyrus's brother on Hannah Montana, who is was 32 when you wrote the book. He may be 40 by now. I don't know. I recently interviewed a young lady named Tanya Gunati, who appears on Aaron Stone playing a teen, and she's 26.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a very particular niche, I would think, of people who are officially their age is much older, but they can play much younger.
There's a lot of them out here. I represent several actors who are older than 18 but can still play high school. And it's great. It's a gift for producers because you can work at an 18-year-old or somebody over 18 more hours than you can work a child because of labor laws. And, even with the children, a 16-year-old can work more hours than a 13-year-old. So if you're 16 but you look really young, it's more advantageous for the producer to hire the 16-year-old over the 13-year-old because they can work more hours each day.
Tanya made that point to me. She also said she did she got called for a role that called for she was going to play a 12-year-old. They needed someone who could appear Korean. She's Indonesian, but just details in Hollywood, but. She said that at first she didn't even want to go because she thought it was kind of humiliating to play a 12-year-old. But it turned out it was for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and she had a great time. And she said they liked having her there because, as you say, she could work as many hours as needed as opposed to a 12-year-old. Much easier on the production, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Frederick, this has been fascinating, and I appreciate you've had a sense of humor about some of the more offbeat questions, perhaps. Do you have any final parting words of great advice to parents who are, still after this 30-minute show thinking that this is a path they want to pursue for their kid?
Absolutely. My best advice is before you buy that ticket to come out to L.A. or to New York, do everything you can right there at home. I've got lots of suggestions listed in the book of things that you can do to get experience, to build your career without having to go anywhere. Once you do everything that you can at home, then think about taking that next step and moving to a bigger market. Because at that point, you'll have a better resume. You'll be a little more competitive, and it will probably be time. But, if people want more information, they can always visit my website at fredericklevy.com, or they can find me on Facebook. I've got a fan page there, or follow me on Twitter at @Frederick_Levy.
Great. And it took me 30 minutes to realize I'd been saying Levy, and it's Levy. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
I imagine I'm not the first, and I won't be the last.
I'm sure you will.
And folks, look, you can find Frederick Levy's books, including the most recent, Acting in Young Hollywood, as well as Hollywood 101, The Film Industry, and 15 Minutes of Fame, Becoming a Star in the YouTube Revolution. And there's three more that I'm not going to mention because we're just going to be out of time. Frederick, it was very interesting, and thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye. And folks, for interviews with more or some of the talented young men and women who are succeeding as actors in Hollywood, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Haley McFarlane and Monica Raymond of Lie to Me, Tanya Gunati of Aaron Stone, Joey Luthman of Weeds, Kevin G. Schmidt of the Cheaper by the Dozen movies and The Young and the Restless. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, True Slant, blogcritics.org, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or www.facebook.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give a piece of your day and spend it with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody.